This is Norman Lear with my great sidekick, Paul Hipp.
Good to be here with you, Norman, on All of the Above.
That's the name of my podcast, All of the Above.
Yeah.
We have had guests you cannot believe.
Yeah.
Guests.
Julie Louis-Dreyfus, amazing.
Yes. And America Ferrera.
Jared Carmichael.
Yes. Oh, Amy Poehler. How did we overlook? We didn't overlook Amy Poehler. I was saving her for last. And Charles Barkley, I was saving him for first, actually, because I didn't declare up first.
I get to hang out with this guy. And this is your chance to hang out with Norman Lear a little bit here and some of these great guests.
God, I wish I was you hanging out with Norman Lear.
Yeah.
Son of a gun.
See?
That must be exciting.
It's the best. I'm telling you.
Don't miss All of the Above with Norman Lear. The first episode's available Monday, May 1st on the Podcast One app, Apple Podcasts, or PodcastOne.com.
Recorded live at Corolla One Studios with Adam Carolla and board-certified physician and addiction medicine specialist, Dr. Drew Pinsky. You're listening to The Adam and Dr. Drew Show.
Yeah, get it on. Got to get it on. No choice but to get on mandate. Get it on. Thanks for tuning in. Thanks for telling a friend. We love that.
Do get it on.
About you. Now, we got some questions up there. But I had a question that I've been wanting to ask Drew for a while.
Yeah.
Had to wait until ripe old age of Thursday to do it. But on my show last week, I got in a little bit of a dust-up with David Wilde, who's a writer for Rolling Stone. He's a writer. He's a very liberal guy. Mm-hmm. And he's a very sweet guy, and I like him, but he's very partisan with his politics, mm-hmm. the way I look at it. And he was sort of over the moon about O'Reilly getting shit canned, and more about Ayers.
It's funny,
and he was sort of over the moon about it.
Hang a second, I realized we had not talked about it
no,
in a week.
But then he wrote auto parts next to it, so it's a different thing.
Yeah, it's different.
But anyway, he was over the moon about it and fired up about it. I didn't bring it up; he brought it up, and so on and so forth. But then I said, "Were you as animated when David Letterman was banging interns?" Because I didn't hear you talk about that. And he's like, well, that's different.
Different? Wow.
Well, yes, it was very different.
Why?
That was consensual. And I said, he was having sex with underlings, interns, assistants in his office at work. I didn't hear you. You don't seem to be upset about that. And he said, I'm not, because that's a different situation.
Oh, boy.
And I said, really? So I did this, which I sort of believe always works. Sometimes people admit it, sometimes I don't. I said, okay, so let's just be straight. If the allegation was Bill O'Reilly was having intercourse with interns and assistants and underlings at his office,
you'd be
at
okay.
Fox,
you'd be
that'd
okay
be cool with,
that. With
you? And he said, yes. That's when I realized, look.
Stupider liar.
I love the guy. I love David Wilde. But at that point, you have to admit you're a little bit of a hypocrite and go, no, I would not be okay with that. Yeah. But I will be okay with it if it's Letterman.
And what do you say to that?
You don't have to say anything to it. Once you just, at the moment you go, yes, I'd be fine if O'Reilly was doing that, that's when you realize, okay, we're not having a conversation that is going to obey parameters.
No, it's not going to be, yeah, it's not going to be internally consistent.
Well, what I'm saying is we're playing on a football field, and you want to run around behind the bench and come back in at the 30-yard line, and I can't tackle you behind there, and you're saying I didn't go out of bounds, and we can't have this conversation. Right. Like, we cannot continue because you're not playing on this field.
Yeah.
The reality is if that's, if O'Reilly was having intercourse, sexual intercourse with assistants and, newbies to the office, you guys would be going out of your fucking brains.
Yeah,
you would not give that a pass or say,
right.
Look, what a man does is between him and his an intern. That's between him and an intern.
When there's a power imbalance and when there's possibility of repercussions and retribution, no bueno. No bueno. Not unless they're, I guess you could say, I mean, let's put it this way. Let's say he had involved with an intern and he wants to date her. Are there conditions where it would be okay?
Well, you and I have been, I think, pretty consistent with this, which is you've always said the workplace is not for this.
Yeah, I have.
Always. Straight
on
through.
That's why I would say if you want to stay clean, the way to deal with it is, honey, you're going to have to quit your job. I'm sorry. if we're going to pursue this. Otherwise,
well, now
we can't
you forced her to quit her job.
No, I wouldn't force it. I would be really clear.
How would that hold up with Gloria Allred? There's an email suggesting you should quit your job.
I would call Gloria and go, is there a way we can manage this that's, you know, equitable? Shouldn't have to quit her job. We can just not have this relationship. That's okay.
Well, now you've given her an ultimatum. Quit your job or end the relationship.
Yeah.
There's no angle here.
So you just
works.
Can't do it at all.
No. What I've always said to you is that the workplace, you've been fine with people dating at college.
Yeah.
That's what people do. I said, look, when you work for a big company or something, you're in your 20s, that is your college. That's where you go. And look.
And I've always said it's treacherous. And if there's a power imbalance, you can't do it.
The power imbalance.
Yeah,
look,
can't do it.
We did the man show. There were 80 people working there, average age 27. Of course, they hooked up. We'd have parties afterward and stuff like that. Yeah, there was, you know, cute girls, cute guys, and that's where you meet. That's you hang out. I think people have gotten married and stuff from this meeting, hanging, your work. You're spending all day with them.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It happens. But all I'm saying is I don't know the extent of what O'Reilly did. I don't know. There's the story where he called it black chick hot chocolate or something.
Yeah,
there's a story where they're in the bar and he said, you want to move up, step up to my room.
Yeah.
There's stories and allegations. It's not confirmation of him having sex in his office.
Right.
So I'm saying it's very interesting to me that the allegations are on one side. The actual DNA is on the other side, and we're outraged at the allegation side. We're going to give a pass to the other side, and there's no part of us our political views that are steering this thought process. I don't mind you going, yeah, this is who I am. I don't like this guy. I like that guy, and yeah it seems inconsistent. Because I'm a big fan of this guy, not a big fan of that guy.
And I
but
say
you
with,
arguing back that, no, I'm even-handed about everything. Yeah. I just happen to be outraged about this and not outraged about that suggests to me that you may not know yourself as well as you think you do.
And I think an almost defensible position would be like, yeah, I don't like those guys, and I don't like the culture they create, and it seems consistent with who I think those guys are. That, to me, is almost a defensible thing.
That is the thought. That's the
not good thought, or it's a good thought?
No, Fox is oppressive.
Yeah, yeah.
Fox doesn't, you know, minorities and women and everything like out, and they've created that culture.
Yeah,
and I say for that reason, you can have that thought about Bill O'Reilly. I would ask for maybe not equal, but some outrage when it happens to David Letterman.
Yeah, I agree with you.
That seems consistent, right?
Yep.
His thing was like, that's consensual.
And I would argue if you were taking that tack, you go, well, let's take a look at their culture and see if it's not a little less the way it would be at Fox. That's all. And if it isn't, that's what I'm talking about. That's the defensible position.
Yeah. So I don't know. What do you think O'Reilly did?
Well, I've known Wendy Walsh for years, and I'd had a long talk with her about what happened. And he used coercion. And then he got retributive. He got angry and started insulting her. It was kind of comical.
So what is it, you know, because
but
I want to say this. The problem when I hear all these stories is like I hear, I'm not saying this is the situation, but the reason why everything now is with a grain of salt is, you know, people say to me all the time, you think your politics has held you back or got you out of this and that? And I go, I have no idea. I don't know what people are saying or doing. I made some good movies and they were rejected from Sundance, and you can go to Rotten Tomatoes and see they're at 90% and their average batting rate is 45%. So maybe there is some actual evidence, but I don't know. I can't say for sure. And I certainly don't feel like it's held me back in my career, but I don't know. Maybe there was a big part that I was up for in some animated film and they said, no, I don't like that
guy. I would argue if it really was a problem, Alec Baldwin wouldn't embrace you.
He was going to be on my show in a couple of weeks. But
so there you go.
No.
I think you guys disagree respectfully.
I think you can, though. I think you can feel like you've been impeded.
Yes. And if you do, if you make a lot of it, it's not going to go well.
No, but I don't – the point is some people will go, I had this talk with this guy and he screwed up my career.
Yeah, yeah.
But we don't know if he screwed it up or we don't know if just the powers that be.
Yeah,
it's a topsy-turvy business.
Whatever it is, who cares? You don't have control of any of it.
Well,
anyway.
I agree with that, but I also agree that if he actively, as a man in power, sought to keep her, well, first off, yes, it's true. There's nothing you can do to anyone who really, you know, there's nothing I could have done to Seth MacFarlane when I met him. Right. I could have known the head of Fox and said, fire this guy, and he could have fired him, but he'd end up on ABC.
Right. That's right.
So there's really not, first things first, there is no, I'm going to ruin your career.
If you're really good.
If you're persistent and really good.
Yeah. There's no way.
But this, I don't know what happened.
By the way, the same might be true of O'Reilly because he could show up somewhere else. I mean, somebody's going to want those eyes. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
You know, so he could survive all this. But
what happened with her?
Let me try to present it from the standpoint of what I think O'Reilly thought. Okay? I think he thought he might have a relationship with this woman. And they were colleagues at work. They were going to dinner. She's a psychologist. They got deep into very personal material, which I talked to her and I said, maybe that was not such a good boundary to cross. But okay, and maybe he didn't understand what that meant.
He got confused.
Yeah, got confused. Okay. And when it came time, he goes, let's get out of here. She goes, yeah, let's get out of here. She started walking for the bar. He started walking to his bedroom, and she was like, no. I think you're mistaken. Let's go to the bar. And he said, come on. And she said, look, we both got teenage kids. Let's set a good example for them. Let's not do this. Mm-hmm. And they went to the bar. And once he got to the bar, he started like criticizing her clothing and her handbags, and she was trying to make peace. Mm-hmm. And then the next couple weeks, she spent trying to make nice with the whole organization and being very supportive, knowing that something might happen. And she was cut off from she first was asked back on, and then was told, sorry.
Well, actually, it's kind of interesting because I think about this. I don't know or didn't know Bill O'Reilly. And then at some point, I was just asked to be on his show. And then I went on his show and I did what I always do, which is show up and produce.
Yeah.
And as soon as this was supposed to be kind of one and done, talk about what
I'll bring you back. He knows good.
I was talking about Occupy Wall Street.
Yeah.
And then anyway, it says, hey, come back next week and do it. And the next thing you know, every Thursday I was coming back or whatever it was.
Yeah.
And I did that. Mm-hmm. And I wasn't a big fan of his or the show. I didn't even really know it that well, but it was just, I'm always the kind of guy, if you go, hey, you want to come on the show? Yeah, come on the show.
Yeah.
So I came on the show and I did that for a number of months, maybe even over a year.
I remember.
And then at some point, they stopped calling me back.
Right.
And if people say to me, I run into people all the time, they go, hey, why aren't you on O'Reilly anymore? And I go, I have no idea.
Yeah.
And then they go, well, what do you think? And I go, I don't think. I just go to the next.
Well,
next
but
thing.
Because
now,
shows that have long runs, like Stern, they have to work people in and then out. They can't keep doing the same thing over and over and over again.
Well, sometimes people say, "Well, do you think there's something you did that may have caused this or what have you?" And my answer is, I don't know.
I would argue. I know the case you're making, and I think everyone gets it. I would argue, though, that in dinner with Wendy, the dinner was, let's talk about developing your career and having not only a regular part with us, your own show.
Right.
And that the opposite happened. So there you go.
Right.
Right? Now, if that's true, if that's what he promised her, a little bit damaging.
What was she doing on the show at the time?
I never saw. I don't know. Probably commentating on, you know, people's behavior.
I see a picture of her, Gary, so I can figure it out.
She's very attractive.
Well, I've done the math on, but I just can't picture who we're talking about. But
she used to be on my show all the time.
Where did she go after that?
Probably my show. That's Wendy.
How come I don't recognize her?
Yeah, that doesn't really look like her. Do the one right above. No, the one on the – there she is. Yeah, that looks like her.
Still. Yeah. Anyway, so then she moved on.
Yeah.
Went to where?
Probably my show.
Sloppy seconds with Drew. Big Drew.
Big bad Drew.
So,
as I said, it was a soggy, sagging log.
And I like her because she's not looking for money or anything.
Lisa Bloom's three accusers specifically have only done it allegedly for their teenage daughters to make a point about work environments.
I like that.
Yeah.
And so now.
I'm telling you, I know Wendy, she is not. She's not hyperbolic. She's not hysterical. She's nothing. None of that.
I get it. Yeah. And I agree with David Wilde in the sense that I hate that. that sort of, oh, you're not going to play ball with me, but I'm going to, you know, I'm going to hold you back. I would also argue that really, like I said, with a bunch of talent, a bunch of motor, you can't be held back. But why should you?
The other thing,
have to combat that.
That's right. The other correct. And the other thing is, I talked to Lisa Bloom about this recently, and she told me the reason he got asked to leave was they had a four attorney. A representative of Fox going, well, we'll look into this, Missy. And they looked into it, and they went, oh, he's going to have to be fired.
Mm-hmm.
So an objective evaluator who actually had a bias against the accusers still found in favor of the accusers.
If you want to hear a long-form interview with Wendy and develop your own opinions on her, episode 168 of the Dr. Drew podcast.
Mm. Well, there you go.
Was she on the podcast? Wait a minute, I'm confused. Because I did an interview with her on the KBC show. You can hear that there. You can also hear Lisa Bloom on the 420. Conveniently.
I'm sorry, I was referring to Wendy Walsh.
Yeah. Wendy was also on
168 of the Dr. Drew podcast.
Okay, she was on that podcast. We were just talking about probably general psychological stuff then. Or maybe we were talking about Jody Arias or something.
Relationships and
yeah.
A lot of stuff like
right.
that.
Right, and then I also talked to her about 4:13 or so on the KBC podcast, and also 4:20. You can hear Lisa Bloom. Very compelling story when you really hear it all played out. It was really kind of interesting what happened. But I hate these things. I hate that people get hurt. I hate that the mob acts out in the process of it. I don't like any of it. But, you know, it in the work environment needs to be updated, right? It needs to be – we don't disagree with the goals.
No, I don't like that to me. Look, I don't like any dirty pool.
Yeah.
And I don't like the idea of going, you know, I'm a big Patriots fan. I find out you're a Steelers fan. I'm going to screw your growth in this company. Like, that kind of stuff drives me insane.
Seriously, do you form your own small business? And you can do that by getting some funding at Cabbage. That's Cabbage with a K. They help small business owners get flexible funding right away, right now. No headaches, none of the paperwork, none of the nonsense of a traditional loan. And you apply online or even from your phone, which if you think about it, you can get a loan from your phone. That gives you a sense of how easy it is. No waiting in line, no scanning documents, no tracking down financial statements. And you will only pay for the funds you actually use. They have supported over 100,000 small businesses. They have over $2.9 billion in funding under them. And you can get a free $100 Visa gift card when you apply at Cabbage with a K, KABBAGE.com, if you visit cabbage.com/Drew. That's right. Visit cabbage.com/Drew. No cost to apply. And as an Adam and Dr. Drew listener, you will qualify for funding. When you qualify for funding, you will get a $100 Visa gift card. That is cabbage.com, KABBAGE, cabbage.com/Drew.
All right, let's take a call up here. Talk to Preston, 28 from Dallas. Preston?
Adam, Drew, what's going on?
Yeah, hey, man, what's going on?
I don't know if you guys remember, I was the one that called a few months back, a couple months back, about whether or not to try and get my girlfriend to work out with me, but it's totally different this time.
I do. How'd that work?
I ended up breaking up with her, actually.
Oh, boy.
Well, I like that.
No, it's good. Yeah, no.
No, you wanted... You wanted to get up in the morning and go to the gym, and she didn't want to get up. Is that true?
Yeah, she was. Correct.
Right. Yeah, I'm getting more of that. I'm thinking more and more like Preston over here, which is, look, there's people, they're not changing. All you do is argue about it, like, just moving on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, redundancy and just, like, repetitiveness. You're like, all right, no more. Next thing.
Yeah.
Well, then my question today is, and it's kind of like, different for everybody, but like cracking your back, what's going on when you do that, and is it a genetic thing where certain people can and certain people can't?
Yes, because it has to do with the structure of your spine, but it's really just inflammation, and it's just tendons and ligaments sliding across each other, and it's some people think it's maybe a little air accumulated that pops out, but it's just a sign of inflammation, and it's no big deal.
So, like, when there's tension there or whatever, and like I feel like my back like tightening up, but I go and like crack it, and then it's relieving the pressure. Is that just inflammation that it's relieving?
Well, yes, but it's also changing the muscles are getting inflamed and then pulling a facet or pulling, you know, things in one direction or another, and you're pushing it back in alignment.
So is it good or bad?
Neither. It's probably good, all things being equal.
Well, I have found that, you know, if you have a really stressful week and then some guy comes and cracks you, there'll be a fireworks, you know, firecrackers are popping back there. But if you have a pretty mellow week and they do it, then it's nothing.
So it's all the muscular tension causing misalignments, and then you push it back in.
All right, let's talk to line three. Talk to, Big Mike.
Big Bad Mike.
From Queens, 37. What's going on?
Dr. Drew, Adam, it truly is a pleasure and an honor to talk to both of you. I'm a big fan.
Cheers. Thank you.
So I'm calling today because yesterday I was hospitalized for something that's been happening ever since I turned 30. So I'm 37 now. I have this allergic reaction. And I've been to the allergist. I went right after the first time I had a reaction when I was 31 or 32. And they did the allergy test, and they told me what I was allergic to. You know, pretty usual stuff, cats, ragweed, pollen, cockroaches, stuff like that. But this reaction I have, really the only thing that happens that coincides is that my heart rate increases. So I don't have any interaction with what they told me I was allergic to. It has something to do with what I'm eating, but I can eat it and I'll be fine if I'm at rest. But if I eat it and then my heart rate increases, I have an anaphylactic reaction. I was usually able to control it with Benadryl, but this time I was at work and my heart rate, my blood pressure dropped, so I almost fainted. So they called the ambulance.
But that's part of anaphylactic reactions. Your pressure.
Yeah, and I didn't know that until I got home and read about it because it hadn't. This has happened to me about 10 times since I've turned 31.
All right. And so what are the, many times you don't figure out what it is, but what are they having any speculation?
Well, after the allergist explained this to me, explained it like this, when I went to him, he's like, it sounds like you're mildly allergic to something. We don't know what it is.
Right.
Just say, for example, it's celery.
Right.
Even though I'm Big Mike, I probably wouldn't eat celery.
Right.
But if I ate celery and I'm at rest, I could eat it, I'll be fine. But if I eat celery and my heart rate increases, then more of the allergens getting dragged to the tissues by the blood from the stomach.
Maybe, or the heart rate increases, the anaphylactic reaction already kicking in, and your heart's compensating for the blood pressure dropping. But okay, keep going.
Hey, Big Mike.
Yeah.
I'm a little confused. Would you not buy the celery, or would you save it for Gay Mike?
I would take the celery. I'd probably cover it in peanut butter, chocolate syrup, something like that.
That's for Big Mike. But what about Gay Mike? What's he get?
I don't know what Gay Mike's eating. We don't talk that much anymore.
Oh, okay. All right.
Parsley.
That's
I don't really eat a lot of bread anymore. I try to I'm trying to lose weight, trying to drop it, but that's
there's a rare syndrome. It's just sort of ringing in the back of my head it's related to an eosinophilic syndrome. Do you have elevated eosinophils?
I don't know what that means.
They probably would have told you. It's a certain kind of white cell that's got a lot of red granules in it. They call it EO for red, eosinophils.
Okay.
All right. And you can get these eosinophilic like masses in your stomach. I've seen this once, and it can be activated by, and it's just like an accumulation of these eosinophils. It doesn't really mean anything. It's just something that gravitates to a certain region, and they can be triggered to degranulate by certain foods.
And when they degranulate, that's what happens?
Yeah, and they released all these allergens into the bloodstream like he's talking about. Look up eosinophilic syndromes, and you see if you don't find something that sounds like what you've got. Now, I don't know if, and they'd have to look around and try to find the eosinophilic.
Hold on, man. Are you the real doctor or just a love doctor?
That's right. So Mike, look at all that and see if it starts to make sense to you. I'm sure the allergist thought about it, but he or she is probably also wondering how hard to look, to find these things because it may not be necessary. But check out hyper-eosinophilic syndromes, eosinophilic masses, that kind of thing, and see what you can learn.
All right. And let me tell you about rich uncles. Rich uncles, man. A lot of uncertainty in the country right now. You don't know what to do. What about your retirement? How about life? Your life savings is all wrapped up in the stock market. We need to diversify, people. You do what I did. You look into richuncles.com. They're REIT. They're real estate investment trust. They own commercial property, collect rent from creditworthy tenants, and pay you a monthly cash dividend. currently sitting at 7%, much higher than the bank's going to give you. Still, I don't think we're up to 1% with the, and that's with a T-bill. Recently featured in the Wall Street Journal article, and you can read the article if you want, get better informed. Go to richuncles.com, read that Wall Street Journal article. You know, like any investment, there's risk, it's not guaranteed. Rich Uncles REIT, REIT, a Reg A Tier 2 offering. So, once again, go to richuncles.com, read the article, or give them a call, 855-RICH-UNCLES. Let them know you heard it here on the Adam and Drew podcast. We do appreciate these guys, and they're a good company. So let them know you heard it here. Rich Uncles.
Rich Uncle Student Housing REIT is seeking indications of interest concerning its Reg A Tier 2 securities offering. Any indication of interest involves no obligation or commitment of any kind. No money or other consideration is being solicited, and if sent in response will not be accepted. No sales will be made or commitments to purchase accepted until the offering statement is qualified. This media outlet is being paid under $15,000 by Rich Uncles for this single message.
All right, let's talk to Mike. He wants to quit the dip.
This
Mike?
Is Mike, not Big Mike.
32, yeah.
Not Big Mike, but Straight Mike.
Straight Mike, yeah, for sure. You're dipping. Okay, guys, don't.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, guys. Yeah, just was wondering for some advice on quitting dip. Been doing it for probably like 10 years and trying to get healthier. Got small kids, don't want to die early or anything like that. So a lot of things out there to help you, but wasn't sure what you guys had, any recommendations or insight on it.
Well, I always wondered why people didn't use the gum or the nicotine gum more regularly when they're trying to quit chew.
Dipping?
Yeah, dipping and chew, because it's so similar. It's the mouth. And by the way, make sure you get the HPV vaccine, man, because dip plus HPV equals – and plus if you add an alcohol, you will get cancers of the tongue, mouth, pharynx. They will happen. So get the HPV vaccine. And then I always wonder why people didn't use the gum and just use shitloads of it if you have to. Just use, put the patch on, add gum to the patch, use the lozenges, use some sort of nicotine replacement syndrome to deal with the cravings.
What's the dip schedule currently?
Every day, at least, like, I mean, I dip at work sometimes or when I'm driving, traveling to work. So it's kind of like all day if I'm stressed out or working hard kind of thing. So maybe a can every 2 days. Quite a bit problem.
Yeah. Well, look, you know, you got kids, you're trying to do the right thing. Yeah, the news is there's just tons and tons of stuff now.
Oh boy.
And you can go get that stuff. And I agree with Drew. You know, cigarettes are, you know, smoke and inhaling and this, that, and the other. The dip, you know, again, the dip can kind of, the gum can, you know, physically substitute to a large, I mean, smoking a cigarette and chewing gum, other than it being your mouth, really don't have a whole lot in common.
To be fair, I mean, what they've done is they've created vaping, so they're really doing something similar to the cigarette, you know, smoking. And because people were not that
satisfied. That's every bit as dangerous, Drew.
No, it is not.
Don't you listen to the California legislature and understand that what they're doing. that's wrong, Drew. We have the jury's still out. We don't know what water vapor is going to do to the human body. You could be injured. Like, you know, sometimes you're in the shower and there's steam coming up.
Oh, you never know.
I don't know about you. I'm not breathing. Are you?
Especially with the soap in there.
You're going to send your kid into that room where there's steam? That's vapor.
I know.
You're going to do that?
Yeah.
And what if that's... What if that steam was raspberry flavor?
Oh, no, God, no.
You'd be doomed, right?
Well, if there was nicotine in that food. People get very confused about, by the way, it's not the nicotine that hurts anything. It's the tobacco. Tobacco is what's carcinogenic, not nicotine. Nicotine hurts precisely nothing, but it creates an addiction. But anyway, HPV vaccine, nicotine replacement, and if you want to go cold turkey, you can try Chantix, which is used for the smoking, but you can also try it for the chew as well, for the dip.
Yeah, you were telling me that didn't work.
It works about – when it works, it works like crazy. It really works, but it's not likely. It's about 30% have a real response. And there's lots of side effects from it too.
There are.
Yeah.
I see the guy in the commercial, and I always wonder if he smokes.
My first order of business would be get the vaccine, get the gum, get the patch, and don't be afraid to use lots of nicotine replacement. That's the other thing people do wrong. They don't use enough. I mean, literally, like put two patches on and use the gum, fine. Go do that if you need to. Whatever you need to do to not use the chew.
So I think people think nicotine's bad for you.
I know it's not.
And I think they look at it.
I had a fight with a cardiologist about this. I said, what are you talking about? You really think about it. Just think. I had to get her to stop and think.
Oh, well, I said her. came into focus. But it's a thing. We have this thing where we want there to be a kind of punitive part.
Yeah. We want to moralize about substances. We do.
Well,
to
no,
me, it's so
no,
stupid.
No, it's that. We want to do that. But really, what we're doing is we're doing what the church does with contraception, which is we don't like it. Yeah. Or don't you hate abortion? We do, but that's what we say. But we don't like the idea of people just having sex.
Right.
And
like people using substances of any type.
You know, folks in California don't like the idea of people just putting something up to their mouth and inhaling it. Well, it's just vapor. I don't like it.
Yeah.
And you go, well, I'm doing it instead of smoking. Yeah, but it should be a little more painful. If you're going to quit smoking, I want you to be in some agony.
Right.
You know what I mean? If you're going to quit dipping, I don't want you doing something and go, hey, it's no big deal. I'll just chew this gum. Well, that's too easy. You need to be punished a little for what you did. You know
so
what I mean?
Stupid. It's so silly. Listen,
they literally have, I mean, they are,
it's crazy.
They are outlawing like vaping from, you know, public spaces and stuff like that. And can we please just join the chorus of Adam Carolla, who doesn't give a shit about any of these things? Yeah. If somebody wants to vape, I'll let them vape.
The vaping,
if they vape
argument,
instead of smoking, good.
The only argument against vaping is that if it becomes too normalized, kids may get into it and they're more likely to graduate to cigarettes. But that doesn't seem to be their focus, right? This is by the same state that's not interested in controlling the exposure to cannabis, but we'll control the – we're worried about the vaping. Like, what? Huh?
The other thing is I was just thinking about the other day when I was watching the gardener and the leaf blower go to town. The leaf blower is the loudest, most polluting two-foot-by-two-foot square on the planet.
Yeah.
And every single one of these guys is walking through a neighborhood times 10,000, just blowing this thing away with the two-stroke smoke going up into the air. We never say a word about it. Never.
We have occasionally.
No, the powers that be don't say a word about it. We say a word about it.
No, but I remember one moment there was a little thing about the polluting effects of those for a moment.
Yeah, but those guys get shouted down. Yeah. Like, you know, Garcetti is all about, the mayor of L.A. is all about, you know, sweeping a driveway, not hosing a driveway. And listen, if you want to buy, if you want to build something new, you have to comply to 1,000 codes that have to do with the environment. How about the guy? How about Hector in the front yard? Was whizzing that lawnmower engine strapped to his back with the black plume coming up and the stuff he's blowing going up in the thing with the kids walking the dog by. Any thoughts on that? No, zero. I got vape legislation to work on. So here's my whole thing. Well, then, of course, you're fucking hypocrite. You're a hypocrite. You don't care about people's lungs or whatever it is. If you did, you'd do this. Now, they don't do that because the only people who do those are Hispanic, and that's their base. They're not going to get into it. Those are votes. So we're not going to muss with those people. That's our base. Meanwhile, those people are standing in a toxic, polluted cloud with no mask on themselves.
Mm-hmm.
You're killing them.
Yeah.
My God, I would much rather my kids smoke than work a leaf blower for a living.
Yeah.
You're just literally inhaling these particles.
Yeah.
And by the way, it's lawn fertilizer, poison, rat shit, vulcanized rubber. It's all the great stuff.
Coccidiomycosis.
Thank you.
Standing in line in the post office is something you can do something about, my friend. That's right. It's stamps.com. It is convenient. It is easy. And it's reliable. We use it here for all the shipping and all the mail needs. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer, your own printer. It's as simple as plugging in that scale, weighing for the postage, printing it up on your printer. You will automatically calculate precisely the right postage for that particular letter, class, package, whatever it might be. No guessing. And right now you can enjoy stamps.com with a special 4-week trial. It's postage. And that digital scale, no long-term commitments. Digital scale allows you to determine precisely what you should be doing. And anything you do at the post office, you can do at stamps.com. So go to stamps.com, click the microphone at the top of the homepage, type in ADS, that is stamps.com, enter ADS. And with stamps.com, you will never go to the post office again. Why would you?
All right. So AdamCarolla.com. You need anything, you can go to CarollaDrinks.com. Say hi to Lynette. Got all kinds of specials going on there. Find out where she's going to be. No safe spaces. at me and Dennis Prager. It's about 100 minutes, I believe. You can get it at iTunes, Amazon, and AdamCarolla.com, and then also 24-Hour War, man. Go to Chassis, C-H-A-S-S-Y.com. Get that and watch it for free at Amazon Prime. Drew.
Go to DrDrew.com. Check out the family of podcasts that we have there, and do so.
All right. So, until next time, Adam Carolla for Dr. Drew saying mahalo.